Okay, so we're on Kuftet today, 109A. I'll begin around 8 lines from the top. Okay, so it says, V'amar mar ukva. Okay, around 8 lines from the top, Kuftet Amud Aleph, 109A. He says, V'amar mar ukva, Amar Shmuel mar ukva. Now, again, we got into this. We were discussing making this salt concoction on Shabbos, which we said is prohibited because it's related to Ibud, but it's only rabbinically prohibited. And then we got into the issue of like refuah, like with the water on the Dead Sea and things like that. So the next few dapim just deal with refuah, mostly with refuah. So we'll see how we take it down. But Amar Mar Ukva Mar Shmuel Alin Ein Behem Mishum Refuah. Now Rashi takes it Alin is the name of a specific herb, and Rashi says you would eat the herb. Other Rishonim want to say the herb would be left on the eyes, but either way, it's not effective as refuah. And so, Mamela, you could do it on Shabbos. It's, in other words, it's an ineffective refuah. Amar of Yosef, kusparta ein ba mishum refuah. Yosef says, kusparta, coriander, has no effect in healing the eyes. It's like, you know, it's like nishtahe, nishtahair. He says, or that's Amar of Sheshet, at least that's the way it sounds like from Rav Yosef. It's going to come out in a few lines that actually hurts the eyes. Then it says, Amar of Sheshet, kishut, ein ba mishum refuah. Hops don't help the eyes in any way. So Amar of Yosef, kusparta, kashli, kusparta, coriander, not just it doesn't help, it hurts. In other words, Rav Yosef was a blind person, and he says that the kusparta is injurious, even though I don't have sight, it's injurious to me. So don't go in the right direction. Amar of Sheshet, gargira, they translate it here in the R scroll as rocket, R-O-C-K-E-T, but it's some herb. So Amar Rav Sheshet Gargira, Afilu Di Mali. Even for me, Rav Sheshet was also blind. Even for me, the Gargira does help. So the idea is that if it's something that helps, you can't do it on Shabbos because it's a refuah. So Amar Mar Ukva Mar Shmuel, Kominik Shut Sharu, Labar Mitruza. He says all types of hops are permissible except for Truza, except for Teruza. So it means that you could use the hops for medicines on Shabbos, because it's also ma'achal b'riyim. In other words, it's not clear that you're using it for medicinal purposes. Let's take a look at the Rashi on this. He says, one second. Yeah, if you look at the Rashi around the 15th hour line, kumenei kishut shari l'meichal b'shabbat k'nam anitin, all food a person is allowed to eat on Shabbos. So if something's a food, I'm eating the food, so it's not clear that I'm doing it for refuah, because maybe I'm just having it for food. So it's permissible. It says all permissible except for truza. Truza, if you look at the next Rashi, shintam ochel el refuah muchamilta. A person only eats that for refuah, so that would be, you can't eat the truza on Shabbos. Amrav chista, shrikur tab yashari. So the way Rashi learns, this is an unrelated halacha. He says, like, basting a roast is permissible. So it means, like, you roasted the food, the meat, before Shabbos, and now you want to smear it, Rashi says, with oil and with eggs. Like, sounds like, I assume, like a raw egg, I think, that you would, you know, put it on the warm meat. It means the meat is less than yatzo, let it bow, and it's already been cooked before Shabbos. So it's saying that that on Shabbos you could shriek a tav yashari. You're allowed to baste it on Shabbos. I do that. He says pipui be'ei asur, but beating eggs, even the raw eggs on Shabbos, is prohibited because it looks like you're preparing to eat, you know, to cook something. The bitu de ze'iri abdele l'chibar ashi. So the wife of ze'iri made this basted roast for a chiyabar ashi on Shabbat. So the food had been cooked before Shabbos, but on Shabbos she basted it. She put the oil and the eggs on it. And he says, v'lo achal, he didn't eat it. So Amr lei, the rabbach abdi lei ba'achal, ba'ad lo achal. He says, for your Rebbe, my husband Ze'iri, I prepared it, and he ate it, and you don't eat it? So he says, so the Gemara now explains that Ze'iri, you know, ate it because he was operating on a certain, you know, set of beliefs, and the other person didn't agree with it. Ze'iri l'ta'ame, we're around 20 lines down on Kuftet Amud Aleph, 109A, around 20 lines down, near the asterisk. There's an asterisk here. So I think it's the second asterisk on the column. So he says, Ze'iri l'ta'ame, Ze'iri followed his shita, da'amar Ze'iri, no tenadam yayin salulumayim slulun tocha meshameret b'shabbat, that a person could put clear wine and clear water in a strainer on Shabbos for Eino Choshesh, and not if you're worried about it. Alma Since it could be drunk this way, in other words, it's already clear, so I'm not really doing anything of significance by putting it through the strainer. That's the way Ziri is saying it. So hachanami came into menchil hachi lamini ka'avid. So too here, the meat could be eaten without the basting. So the basting isn't really doing anything for the meat per se, so he felt it was not a problem with it. But this Chiyabar Ashi, is that his name? Chiyabar Ashi didn't agree with that. Okay, let me just look at 1 second. Give me 1 second. Let's take a look. Let me just take a look so we can look before. Right. Yeah. All right. Anybody have any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, they said in the article, it's not clear why he felt he couldn't eat it afterwards, but he felt that the basting he felt was something a person shouldn't do on Shabbat. All right.
Well, what's the difference between the egg and the meat?
No, the egg
you can do, but the meat you can do.
Let me take a look. 1 second. When earlier. Yeah. Papui Bey Aser, right. So the way Rav Chista holds that if I'm just basting it, I'm not doing a malacha, and there's no reason to prohibit it, and the meat isn't warm enough to cook it. But with the Papui Bey, with the eggs, when I beat the eggs on Shabbos, it looks like I'm preparing to cook it. So it's prohibited on a Drabanan level, according to Rav Chista. It was if I take an egg and I beat the egg on Shabbos, so it looks like I'm preparing to cook on Shabbos. Not that I'm actually cooking, but it looks like I'm, you know, preparing to do that.
What if it's already cooked egg?
Say again, what?
What if it's an already cooked egg?
In a cooked egg? This is no problem with a cooked egg.
Why would you whisk an already cooked egg?
Yeah. Why would you? I don't know if you did it.
Whisking is usually part of a cooking process.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. Whisking, I feel, is like beating, right? Isn't whisking?
Yeah.
Yeah, beating it. Right. Okay. All right. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. All right. Okay, now we're up to near the small dalet. Be'amar mar ukva, mishanakva yado raglot, somta b'yayim v'eno choshesh. If a person, he wounded his hand or his foot and it's swelling, somta b'yayim, it sounds like he can put it in wine to reduce the swelling and he doesn't have to worry about it because the wine doesn't do too much for the swelling. So it's like not an effective medical treatment. That's the way it sounds like. He says, Ibailahu chalamoy, what about sticking it in vinegar? He wants to reduce the swelling by sticking the wound in vinegar. So Amarav Hillel Ravashi, Ki Avina Bei Rav Kahana, he said, when I was in the base medrash of Rav Kahana, he says, Amri, they said, chalalo, that you're not allowed to use vinegar as a treatment on Shabbos to reduce the swelling. And again, if it's something that is done for refuah and affects a refuah, then you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. So Amarava, Bahani B'nai Mechuza, Kev de Mefanki, Afilu Chamra, Nami Masilhu. He says the people in Mechuza, they're very sensitive people, and even the wine is somewhat curative. Apparently, it sounds like the wine does a little bit for it, but so de minimis, most people would not consider refuah. But the people in Mechuza were so sensitive that they felt that the wine was effective for them. And so So even there, they can't even use the wine as to treat swelling. Ravina Ikhla Bei Ravashi. Ravina came to the house of Ravashi, and it sounds like it was on a Shabbos. I saw that look, Michael. Ravina Ikhla Bei Ravashi, he says, Chazya Didrichle Chamra Agaba Dekare. He saw that a donkey had stepped on Ravashi's foot. He says, V'yati V'katsamit Le'bechala. And he was like treating it with vinegar to reduce the swelling. So Amar Lei, Lo Savra Lamar, Lahada Amar Rav Hillel, Chalalo, don't you hold from Rav Hillel said you're not allowed to use the vinegar as a treatment on Shabbos. That's refuah, and you're treating your foot with refuah. Amar Lei, Gaba Yad V'Gaba Regel Shani. He says the top of the hand and the top of the foot are different. So it means that it's a pikuach nefesh with it. And we'll see in a minute. Let me see what the Rashi, does Rashi have on this? Yeah. So if you look at Rashi, he says, Shani, this is around 10 lines above where it gets wide, Shema katoka she musuka mechalev ra Shabbat. That's like a very dangerous situation. So you could even mechal Shabbos for that. So certainly you could treat it with, you know, medicine. He says, Now back in the Gemara, Ikita Amri, others say, Chazit the Katsamit Le Bechamra, they saw he was treating it not with vinegar, but with wine. He says, Amar Le, Lo Sabra La Mar, La Hada Amar Rava, Hari B'nei Mechuza, Kimin Mefanki, Afilu Chamra Nami, Masulahu, that the people in Mechuza are so sensitive that even wine is an effective refuah for them. So he says, Umar Nami Hamafanik, and you are a very sensitive person, he said to, this is Ravashi, right? Ravashi. So he says, Amar Leis, so Ravashi said, Gavi Yad v'Gavi Regel Shani, that the top of the hand, the top of the foot are different. The Amar Ravada Bar Matna, Amar Rav, Gavi Yad v'Gavi Regel, Harehein Kamaka Shel Chalal. It's like something like an interior wound, a wound like into the interior of the body. Shemachalin Alena Shabbat. A person can be Chal Shabbos for this. Now, the only part that's a little tricky, I think they had a blurb in the art school about this. The implication of the Gemara here is you can take Rufu only for Pikuach Nefesh, which is not the way we hold the halacha. Again, remember, there's three types of cholin. There's a Mechush Ba'alma, like a minor ailment that you can't take medicine for. Then there's Pikuach Nefesh, you can do everything. And then there's Chol She'ein Bo Sakana. Chol She'ein Bo Sakana is a person, he's like confined to bed, he has a temperature, that type of thing. Or he has like the aver, he has a limb that's in danger, but his body's not in danger. So we hold that you could take refuah, you could take medicine in those circumstances. The implication of the Gemara here, you can only take it because of Pikuach Nefesh, otherwise not. But we hold that you could even take it if it's Chol She'ein Bo Sakana. All right, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? Okay, so moving on. Okay, we're on Kuf Tet Amud Aleph 109a, around 8 lines from the bottom. Okay, everybody with me? Again, we're talking about Refuot, and we're going to have Refuot for a couple of days into Thursday's daf will be Refuot, okay? So Tanur Banan, we learned the Braisa, Rochasin B'mei Grar, B'mei Chamtan, B'mei Asya, B'mei Tveria, that on Shabbos one can bathe in the Grar waters, the Chamtan waters, the Asya waters, the Mei Tveria, the Tiberian waters. So Rashi learns that these waters have salt to them, and the salt is somewhat, you know, therapeutic for a person, whatever it may be. Others learn that there are hot springs, something along those, that derech. He says, Aval lo b'yama gadol, but a person cannot bathe in the Yama Gadol. The Yama Gadol is either the Mediterranean, or it means all oceans are Yama Gadol. I can't bathe in the ocean on Shabbat. So he says, Veloba Me Mishra, a person can't bathe. Me Mishra is where I've soaked the flax. In other words, it's so stinky. It's so, the only reason a person would bathe in that is ipso facto because I'm doing it for refuah purposes. So I'm doing it for refuah purposes, then I can't do that on Shabbat. He says, Veloba Yamashal Stone, I can't bathe in the Sea of Stone, means the Dead Sea. That's obviously that a person, the Bar assumes that a person would only bathe there for medicinal purposes. Now, We haven't really been mavari about the Yama Gadol. So this Braisa says you're not allowed to bathe in the Yama Gadol on Shabbat. Uraminu, we pose a contradiction from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Rochatin b'mei Tveria, you can bathe in the waters of Tiberias, so that's so far so good. Uvi Yama Gadol. This says you could bathe in the Yama Gadol on Shabbat. He says, Abalo b'mei Mishra v'lo b'yama shel stom, not in the water that the flax was soaked in or the Yama shel stom. So we have a contradiction, right? Because one Braisa says, I can't bathe in the Yama Gadol. The other Braisa says, I can bathe in the Yama Gadol. So the Gemara says, Kashi Yama Gadol, Yama Gadol. So we have a contradiction. So the Gemara is going to try to resolve the contradiction by referring to a Mishnah in Masechet Mikvaot. It's also Masechet Para, a din by Mikvaot. And then the Gemara is going to reject the answer and then come up with a final answer, okay? So the Gemara says, Lokasha, Harab Meir, Harab Yehuda. The Gemara says, one opinion, the opinion that says that that I cannot bathe, and one second, let me see Rashi. Right, the opinion says that I can bathe in the Yama Gadol is Reb Meir. Meir says that all bodies of water are the same, and for a certain halacha that we're going to learn, and so I can bathe in the water. And then the opinion says I can't bathe. We think it's going to follow the Tana Reb Yehuda, and we think that Reb Yehuda says if it's very salty water, I can't bathe in it, and that's why the Yama Gadol is very salty, and then I can't bathe in it. We'll see. Now the Gemara says Ditnan. We learn the Mishnah. This Mishnah again is in Masechet Para and Masechet Mikvaot. Now, the dinim you have to know for this are you have a mikvah and you have a mayan. So this is the way they had in the Masechta Gemaras and the way that Rabbi Lieber was explaining it. A mikvah can't be flowing water, right? A mikvah can't be flowing water. And I can't use the mikvah when the Torah says you need mayim chayim. Sometimes the Torah says you need mayim chayim. So I need mayim chayim, let's say, for the zav. A zav has to... immerse himself in Mayim Chaim. And the Metzora, you use Mayim Chaim milk, and the Afer, the Mei Chatat, are put in Mayim Chaim. Mayim Chaim means like a spring water. It's called living water because it's gushing forth. It's moving. It's alive. So those are the two dinim. So if it's Mei Mikvah, it can't be flowing. It has to be settled down, like our mikvah is inside, right? It can't be leaking, everything else in the Mei Mikvah. And then conversely, I can't use it when I need Mayim Chaim. I can't use it if it's a mikvah, okay? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Dan, kol yamim kemikvah. So according to the Tanakhama, all bodies of water are like a mikvah, meaning not just the ocean, but it means, let's say, like the Sea of Galilee, the Caspian Sea, inland bodies of water all have a din of a mikvah. It says, kol yamim kemikvah, shenemar, l'mikvah yamayim kare yamim, divrei Rameir. That all the gatherings of water, then the Bracious, it says, l'mikvah yamayim, all the gatherings of water, he called yamim. So yamim are a mikvah. So things equal to the same things are equal to each other. So Arthur, you have to mute yourself, Arthur. You're making noise. Okay, 1 second. Okay, there you go. All right. So the... So that's according to Rameir. So we think the Rameir holds all bodies of water are the same. So all bodies of water are the same. We think that he would permit you to bathe in the Yam HaGadol because you could bathe even in, like, let's say, the Sea of Galilee on Shabbos or the Caspian Sea on Shabbos. So the Yam HaGadol is not any different than that. Okay. And again, this is talking about, remember, we've mentioned that there's an old minhag not to bathe on Shabbos in water. And it was we discussed this earlier in the Gemara when we did Gzeirat HaBalanim. Remember we discussed it. So back in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the second one, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yam HaGadol Kemikvah. He says the Yam HaGadol, so the Yam HaGadol is either the Mediterranean or oceans are like a mikvah. When it says u'l'mikveh yamayim kara yamim, like the mikvahs he called yamim, he just means the Yam HaGadol. But like the Caspian Sea, the Sea of Galilee, that's not a mikvah. So it's not a mikvah. So that means that I could use, if it's flowing, I could use it. I could bathe in it and use it for a mikvah. If the water is flowing there, if there's a current, or if I need my mchayim and it's flowing, I could use it for that as well. So we think that Rabbi Yehuda says the Yam HaGadol is like a mikvah. We think in some way the Yam HaGadol has more salt. So salty bodies of water cannot be used for Mayim Chaim. So we think that the Braisa that says you can't bathe in the Yam HaGadol is going like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. And the Braisa that says you could is going like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, the third opinion, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Yamim Mitarin Bezochalim, he says that all the Yamim, he like splits it, all the Yamim, you could be Mitahir, even if the water is flowing, you could be Mitahir in it. He says, Upsulam Lazavim Lutzurayim Lekadesh Ben Mechatat. But the yamim you can't use if you need mayim chayim. He's like saying it's like has one din and not the other din. That's the way Rabbi Yossi is saying. But we really need the first two opinions, which are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. So that's the way the Gemara wants to say. So the Gemara has a din. It's a din of mikvahos. The Gemara wants to say by din of mikvahos, Rabbi Meir says that the Yam HaGadol is the same as all other bodies of water. We think that that same din would apply by Shabbos. That Rabbi Meir would say you could bathe in the Yam HaGadol just like you could bathe in a fresh water, gathering of water, body of water. And we think that Rabbi Yehuda says no, that the Yam HaGadol is different. We think because it's salty, that adds to the fact that you can't use it for Mayim Chaim. And so the Yam HaGadol I can't bathe in, it's salty, and it's clear for you using it for medicinal purposes. The other bodies of water I could. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, Matkif lo Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak asks a strong question. Turn page, the top line in Amud Beis. He says, Amor de pligi in tumah v'tara. Maybe that machloket just relates to tumah and tara. And Rashi says that it's based on a kra, not the way we said that salt has something to do with this machloket. That Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda Shitot are just based totally on psukim, and the machloket is just something that relates totally to mikvahs, nothing to do with Shabbos. He says, "L'inin Shabbat mishamadlu." Who says that by Shabbos that they have any application for what they said by Shabbos? So Ella, so you know what that means, Fern. So scratch the previous teretz, right? The press delete, and now we're giving a different shot. We're explaining why one brisa says I cannot bathe in the Yam HaGadol, one brisa says I could. Ella Amar of Nachmar Yischak Lokasha Hadishtoi Hadlo Ishtoi. So we think that difference is whether he spends time in the water. If he goes in for a brief dip, so then that's permissible. If he's spending time bathing, then it looks more like he's doing it for refuah purposes, and that's the brisa that says you can't do it on Shabbos in the Yom Gadol. That's what we think. So b'mayu kimta l'bat raita. So what the last brisa says, you could bathe in the Yom Gadol on Shabbat, even though you're doing it for medicinal purposes, but it's not nikar, they're using it. And so we said that's toying with loishtai. You don't spend a lot of time. You're in, you're out, goodbye. Says the loishtai. Eat loishtai if you're not spending a lot of time in the water. Afilu b'meimishranami. So that same brisa said that a person is not allowed to bathe in meimishra. Meimishra is the flax-soaked water, which apparently has some medicinal, help. So he says, so if that's the case, you're not spending a lot of time there, so then Meimishra, you should be allowed to, in other words, if the last brisa is saying, last brisa says that you could bathe in the Yom Gadol, but the last brisa also says you can't bathe in Meimishra. So if you're saying the Yom Gadol is 20, you don't spend a lot of time in it, Meimishra also you don't spend a lot of time in it. But the Gemara is going to produce proof that if you're just doing a brief dip, you could do that. So he says, Afilu b'mei mishra nami, third line, dahatani, we learn in the brisa, rochatzim b'mei tveria uv'mei mishra, a person could bathe in mei tveria and mei mishra with the flax water, uv'yama shel stone, the Dead Sea, but afal pishesh lo chatatim brosho, even if he has scabs on his head. So the person looks at him, he says, I know why he's bathing. He's bathing because he wants like the curative impact of the water. But medro murim shel nishta, if he doesn't spend time, he can go in and out, because even then, it's not mukrach that he's doing it for medicinal purposes. So if he spends time, it's prohibited. So we still, again, we're trying to explain how one brisa says that I could bathe in the Yom HaGadol, one brisa says I can't, but the brisa that says I could bathe in the Yom HaGadol also says that I can't bathe in Meimishra. So the Gemara says, Ela Yom HaGadol, Yom HaGadol Lokasha. So the Gemara says, the Yom HaGadol is not a contradiction. He says, Habiyafin Shabo, Habiroyin Shabo. So if I'm bathing in the clear, nice water, that I could do on Shabbat. But Beroyin, the bad water, it's like the water is like, I don't know, polluted water, whatever. So the only reason I would go in there is for medicinal purposes. Otherwise, I'd never go in that water. So then that's Mukhrach, that's the reason I'm going in there. He says, Meimishra nami lo kasha. And then, as far as Meimishra is concerned, is also no contradiction. Hadishtaya hadloishtaya. The Meimishra, if I go for a brief dip, I could do it. But if I'm doing for a long dip, that I cannot do. So just 1 minute. Let me just see. One minute. Okay. Now, he says here in the art scroll, this is in footnote 9, he says, in conclusion, if one lingers, he may bathe only in water that is relatively clear. He says the waters of Grar, Kamsin, Asyan, Tveria, and the pure parts of the Yom HaGadol. If one does not linger, he may bathe even in the contaminated water. So it sounds like they were combining both pshatim. So one is that if it's clear water, I could spend a lot of time in it. If it's not clear water, in and out. And then the other thing is that Meimishra, in and out, even though it's stinky water, but I'm just going to go briefly in there. That's the way we're saying at the end. Anyway, the basic idea is, if I'm doing something that the observer, the reasonable observer, would assume I'm doing something for refuah, I'm not allowed to do it on Shabbos. If it's something that the observer would not be clear that I'm doing it for refuah, because even healthy people do this, so then I'm allowed to do that on Shabbos. Okay? All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did?
I have a quick question.
Yeah, what's up, David? Yeah.
All right, so like when you're getting in and out doing this bathing, I mean, if you swim a little bit to wherever you're supposed to be, you're not supposed to swim on Shabbos. How do you do this? You're not allowed to swim on Shabbos, right?
Yeah, that's clear. That's Shema Yaseh Klei Shayatin. So you just you walk into the water, and then you walk out. That's it.
I mean, so when you're bathing, I mean, you can't like do a stroke. I mean, you gotta get you're not swimming, you're not floating, you're not doing anything.
Right, you just walk in, and then you walk out. Uh-huh. All right. All right. And again, we don't do this anymore on Shabbos, right? We did this in the Sigur.
But that's because we don't do the bathing, but the swimming is a separate issue, right? The swimming is the
swimming is worse, but even the bathing we don't do. All right. Now, all right, everybody good? Okay, let me keep moving. All right, let me see. All right, so we're on. Now, let me talk about from yesterday. See, the people who asked me the question, Malka is not here. Maybe I should wait till tomorrow night, and Ruth's not here either. All right. So, Fern, you have a question? What's up?
I asked you a question last night. You were going to get back to me.
About that's what I was talking about, the salt water, right?
Right, whether it's Bishul.
All right. Well, the two questions that came up last night were preparing salt water for the Seder. So
that wasn't my question.
Okay. Anyway, so the Mishnah Berurah says that if it's Shabbos, you should not prepare the salt water, implying that if it's Yontiv, you could prepare the salt water. But I look in the Piskei Tshuvas, he says some poskim hold that it's only a prohibition on Shabbos. Other poskim say it's even a prohibition on Yontiv. And I was talking to Rabbi Eli Belazon today. He thought because on Yontiv, you're allowed to do Tzorech Ochel Nefesh. You're allowed to.
Right.
You're allowed to do so. In some way, it's connected with that. So I think clearly the better way would be just to prepare the salt water before Yontiv, then you're home free.
Thought the maskan of the Gemara yesterday was that with little amounts you could.
Right. So they say the best way is just prepare, and then you avoid the problem altogether.
Understood.
But they say if you didn't prepare, then you prepare a little amount. But why even get involved with it? In other words, now the next thing. Then you asked about cooking. So I assume about adding salt to an item. In other words, so the Rabbi Simcha Bunim Cohn book says if it's a kli rishon, let's say I have a pot on the fire and now I pour it into kli rishon. So kli rishon, let's say I have soup in a kli rishon. So if it's above yad, so let it bow. So in the book, he says not to add seasonings to it because it could still be bishul. But I was talking to Rabbi Eli Belazon today. He said that. He was quoting from the Ribiot book. I didn't look it on the Ribiot book. He says there's a difference between coarse salt and table salt. And apparently the table salt has gone through a process where it's considered cooked already. And he says that table salt, you could add to, let's say, hot soup, you know, in a kli rishon. All right.
Yeah, you don't want to make yourself fleshic while you're cooking it on Friday. So I just add the seasonings before I serve it. But never coarse salt, so I'm good.
Wait, you're adding the seasonings to the kli rishon, to which the kli that's on the fire or the kli rishon?
It's not on a fire. It's on a blech or a warming drawer.
So while it's on the heat, you're adding the seasonings to it.
I could remove it and add the seasoning. I usually do, not on the pot. I remove it and then I add seasoning.
Yeah. So that gufa seems to be what he was talking about. So with salt, he says table salt is not a problem, it sounds like, because it's already bishul. The other seasonings I don't know about. Let me look more into that, okay? And I believe that I'll get
back to you. Check out garlic powder. That's a big one.
Michael, what's up? And then Arthur. What's up, Michael?
This is for Fern. Thanks. Stir it also? You put the salt in and then you stir the material?
I guess not. Yeah, right. I do to mix it, but it's off the flame actually.
All right, Blinetta, we'll get back to you. Okay, now Arthur, what did you want to say, Arthur?
Two things. I mean, by shechita they use the thick salt and the thin salt. I think they use it like a 60-40% ratio.
Right.
When they kasha.
Right.
On the thick salt, I'm just mentioning it. The thick salt and the thin salt. The thin salt is like the table salt.
Right.
The thick salt is the heavy salt that they use in shechita. And also, I notice upstate, I think some of the chassidim go to the mikveh and they use the and they wear their towel around their neck, like going back to wherever they're going.
The towel around the neck. What do you mean the towel around the neck? When they go into the mikveh, they're wearing the towel around the neck, or what are you talking about?
When they're going, no, when they dry you off, they come out of the water wherever they're going. They walking back Shabbos to wherever they are. They're wearing the towel on themselves.
Is there an Erev there or not?
No
Erev. In other words, I don't know what they're doing, but presumably they want to do it like they're wearing the towel is like a malbush. I don't know if it really cuts it. But anyway, that's it.
They're wearing a towel as a malbush around their neck.
Yeah.
But the jewelry we can't wear.
But that's not the normal way of wearing a malbush.
Yeah. Or my Dafyomi people have questions whether that's really a malbush. Yeah. All right. But it has to be looked into. Okay. Let's keep moving. I'm glad everybody's got all the sensitivities to halakha. Okay. I got to mute everybody now. Okay. Let's go back in the Gemara. Okay. Now we're on Kuf Ted Amud Beis in the Mishnah. And again, a lot of this is... is all different refuot. We're getting into refuot. The basic idea is we don't want to do refuot on Shabbos. That's the basic idea. If a person's just mechush ba'alma, and then the efficacy of these refuot we've had before, and it comes up elsewhere in Shas, so it's not the type of refuot that we would normally follow today. So either you say, like, it's nishtana ha'teva, people are different, or that we don't really understand these refuot, and we don't understand how they're to be applied. And or to say, like one of my friends said, it's like it's in a spiritual realm, and it's in a spiritual realm, things are different. But that's the way these refuot. Okay, now, so the Mishnah says, in Oakland, ezovion b'Shabbat, lefin sho'in ma'achal b'riyim. A person should not eat ezovion on Shabbos. Now, ezovion, in some way, it's going to be some herb, and we'll explain what herb it is. But you can't eat on Shabbos because a healthy person would never eat it. In other words, so if you're eating it, it's like taking, you know, like Advil or aspirin on Shabbos, because it's like mucha milta that you're only eating for refuah. Aval ochel hu et yoezer, a person could eat yoezer, v'shote abuvroe. And the Gemara will explain which one of these terms as best we can. Here's the key line. Kola ochlin ochel adam le refuah. Well, food, in other words, if it's normal, regular food, so I can eat the food even though I intend it for refuah. V'chol amashkin shote, and all drinks a person can drink, chutz mei dekalim b'kosi karin, except for mei dekalim is like date palm water. I don't know if how the water is prepared, and apparently that I think is a diuretic, he says. I think b'kosi karin is something that like makes a person sterile, but that's used as a treatment for jaundice. Neshuhu liroka. Abel shotehu mei dekalim letzima. Oh, if you're thirsty, you could drink mei dekalim. He says, Besach shemen ikarim shalol refuah. And a person could anoint himself with the shemen ikarim. Ikarim can mean, you know, roots, and it also can mean like akar, to make a person sterile, for as long as it's not for refuah purposes. All right, now, the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef. Now, the Gemara wants to be mechalik. We know in the Torah refers to an azov. Azov I usually translate as a hyssop. A hyssop is a low bush. So the azov, we use the azov a number of places in halacha, right? So we use it by the A for para, right? Agudat Ezov. And then we have the Ezov, I think, with the
Yetziat Mitzchaim.
Yeah, over there, yeah. But I think with the Mitzora, right? In the words, he says, the Ezer is Ushnito Lad Ezov, right? With the Mitzora. With the Mitzora's process, we also take an Ezov. So we want to know what is Ezov and what is Ezovion? So Amar Rav Yosef, Ezov, Avrata, Bart, Himig. So Rav Yosef says an Ezov is the hyssop of Hamag. Hyssop of Hamag. So Rashi says Hamag is related to Gemi. It grows in the reed grass. Ezovion, Avrata, Bar, Hing. Ezovion is the hyssop of the Hing. And Rashi says the Hing relates to Higim, like thorn bushes. So if it grows with the reeds, it's the Hamag one. If it grows with the thorn bushes, the Hing one. So the Hamag one is the Ezov. Ula Mar, Marva Chivra. Ula says it's the white sage is the Ezov. Ula Ikhla, the Beirav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Ula came to the house of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. They brought him white sage out, I assume, to eat. I don't know. He says, Amar hainu ezov dechti boraita. He says, that's the ezov. Oh, wonderful. He says, now, Rapapi amar shumshuk. Rapapi says the ezov is shumshuk. So shumshuk, he says in the footnotes, marjoram. I don't know what marjoram is, but, you know, something that grows. He says, Amar b'yirmiya midifti kvati rapapi mistabra. So b'yirmiya midifti says rapapi's as far as logical. He says didnan, because we learn in the Mishnah mitzvah ezov shloshak lachin, and this Mishnah is mesechet para. So we said we use the ezov with the para duma, right? In other words, you're gonna sprinkle it with the agudat ezov. So that's what the Mishnah is doing in mesechet para. So the Mishnah says, you take three stems, he says agudat ezov, and aguda is three. He says uvahen shlosha givolin, and each one has three capsules on top of each one. So he says v'shumshuk hu d'mishtacha hachi. That's the way the shumshuk works. I guess the shumshuk has got like three. They said capsules on top of each one. He says lamai achlile. Why would a person eat the azovion. We said that you can't eat the azovion on Shabbos. Why would you eat the azovion? What would be the purpose that a person would eat the azovion for? So he says, "My achile lukukiani, for intestinal worms." But my achile, what do you eat it with? So he says, "Besheva tamari ukmata." You eat it with seven black dates. Mimai havya, and why do you get the intestinal worms? He says, "Mikimcha desaare, from barley flour." The chalafilei arbun yomin, that's 40 days old. Apparently, I don't know, they had worms. I don't know. But anyway, you get the intestinal worms from that. And you would treat it with azovion, but not on Shabbat. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did on this? Okay, I'm moving on. Okay, now, avalochelhu et yoezer. A person could eat yoezer on Shabbat. So my yoezer, what is yoezer? So the Gemara says, putnak. Penny royal. So he's lamai achli law. Why would you eat this yoezer? Why? In other words, you're allowed to eat yoezer, but what would be the medicinal? In other words, healthy people eat yoezer also. And that's why you could eat it on Shabbos. But why would you want to eat it as for medicine? What would it do? So urkata, for like liver worms. Lamai achli law. What do you eat it with? B'sheva tamari chivrita, with seven white dates. Mai havya. Why do you get like these liver worms? Apparently. He says, "Mi umsa umaya alibud reikana." If you eat raw meat and water on an empty stomach, "Mi bistra shamna alibud reikana," or from fat meat on an empty stomach. He says, "Mi bistra de Torah alibud reikana," or from ox meat on an empty stomach. He says, "Mi amguza alibud reikana," if you have a nut on an empty stomach. He says, "Umi gire derubya alibud reikana." Gire derubya is stems of fenugreek. He says, "Umishte maya abatre," and then you drink after water afterwards. Anyway, so again, so we're trying to find out, why do we eat yoezer? So yoezer, you would eat as a cure for these liver worms, and liver worms came from the whole zak that we had mentioned. The ilo, and if you're not able to do the yoezer treatment, he says, "Livla tachle chivrito," you should have white cress. The ilo, if you're not able to do that, Leiti b'tanita, the person should fast. Leiti bisra shamna, and bring fat meat. Belishte agumre, and put it on hot coals. He says, "Velemitz garma," he should like suck on, garma is a bone, but it means like suck on the meat. Veligma chala, and then sip vinegar. Veikita amri chalalo, others say he shouldn't sip the vinegar. Mishum dekashi lekab, that's bad for the liver. Velo, if he's not able to do that cure, leiti gurda da asinta, he should bring like this branch of asinta. So asinta is from, I think this, from the bush. I think it's like connected to snap. He says, "Degrida me Eli letzai." That's the bark has been removed from the top to the bottom, beginning with the top. Below me titai liloi, not that the bark is removed from the bottom to the top. It was from the top to the bottom. Dilmanafki Idi Pume, because otherwise the worms will come out of his mouth. He doesn't want the worms to come out of the mouth. He wants it to go another end. And apparently the worms leave in the same way that the bark has been removed. Lishalke b'shichra b'shivave, and he should take this bark, whatever, and cook it, boil it in beer. He says at twilight, or else it means you go to your neighbor's house. I don't know if the neighbor's house wants it so much, but the odor would be harmful to the person. He says, "Ulamachar naskarinam linikvin didei." The next day, we should close his nostrils, belishte, and then he should drink it. Vachimifane, again, he's got these liver worms. He says, "Vachimifane," when he like relieves himself, "Mifane ap pashischa didikla," should leave himself on the strip part of the tree. All right, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, everybody still awake? Everybody still with me? All right. Let's go in for the kill, so to speak. And it's very nice having Sal Berger with us tonight. Special welcome, Sal. And we hope you go Mechayel El Chayel. And we understand we're making tremendous progress. If I can repeat, can I repeat what you said before the beginning? Sal said he davened standing up Shacharis and Musaf today for the first time since, I think, around Purim. So we're very happy that he's been recovered so much to be able to stand. And hopefully, she'll go Mechayel El Chayel, be able to stand and walk more and more and more. And we hope you have a refuah shleima. All right, let's go further in the Gemara. Now, the Okay, we're around 15 lines to the bottom on Kuf Tenem and Beis. Everybody with me? Near the two dots. Vishotin Abu Vroe. So we said in the Mishnah that that a person is allowed to drink Abu Vroe on Shabbat. So my Abu Vroe, what is Abu Vroe? So the Gemara says, Chum Teraya. Chum Teraya, he says, the Gemara says, my Chum Teraya, Chutra Yechidah. So he says a solitary staff, a solitary branch. So it's not too clear what you do with this branch. He says that maybe it was soaked in a liquid and then you would drink it. So maybe you take the branch and then you soak it in water and drink it. I don't know. So he says, Lamai Avdi Law. So why would this medicine, why would you prepare this for Ligiluya? So it's good for, like, if you had drunk, like, the exposed water. Again, with exposed water, you're afraid that a snake came and injected its venom in the water and that it's dangerous. So that would be the antidote. So the Gemara says, V'ilo, if you're not able to do that, Leiti Chamisha Klilei, bring 5 roses, V'chamisha Kosta D'Shikra, 5 cups of beer. He says, V'nishal Kinu Bahari Adade, and boil them all together, Dekaimi Anpanka, until you have an Anpanka. An Anpanka is a very small amount of liquid. He says here, actually on the side, if you look, it's 1/8 of a revius. A revius is a quarter of a log, and 1/8 of that would be a 32nd of a log, right? Right. Right? It would be, let me see, make sure. What is that? Anpanka, 40. This is equivalent to a quarter of a log. One second. Oh, I wasn't looking in the right place. I'm sorry. No. Anpaka is a quarter of a log, a rebius. Adkami anpaka, quarter of a log. Okay, vinishte, and then drink it. Okay, imi the rabba achad voy barami, abdele lahu gabra, chad kli lebachad kosata de shichra. So the mother of Rav achad voy barami made this potion for somebody. I guess he had had this, he had drank the exposed water. And she said 1 rose and 1 cup of beer, shalka, and then she boiled it together, the ishkite, and she gave it to him to drink, the shagra tanura, and then she heated up an oven, the garafte, and then she shoveled out the coals, but otvite levenata begave, she put a brick in the oven, and I guess for him to sit on the brick, benafa kuhutsa yarka, and from this person, like, it was like a green leaf came out from him. It means like some green fluid that looked like he says, like a green leaf of a palm branch. In other words, like this poison, you know, the greenish liquid spewed out from him, the article says, and it was an effective treatment. Okay, we're 10 lines from the bottom. Rav Ivya Amar, Raviata de Chalava, Meiza. So this is a different cure. Rav Ivya says if you have a quarter log of milk from a white goat, that helps. Rav Hunabar Yehuda Amar, Leiti Etroga Chalita, bring a sweet estrog, v'lei chayke, and make a hole in it, v'lemal yedubsha, fill it with honey. He says, v'lotve be milalei denura, and put it like on these coals so it gets heated up with the honey, v'leichle, and then eat it. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? What's up, Yosef?
You're not supposed to drink the water that's not covered, right? This, if you do...
Right. 100% correct. All right, any other questions? All right, we're on a roll. All right, let's take a look. Okay, we're 10 lines from the bottom on Kuf Tet Amud Beis. All right, now, Reb Chanina Amar, Mei Raglayim B'nei Arba Im Yom. So Reb Chanina says if you take urine that's 40 days old, or some say urine that came from a child that's 40 days old, he says, Barzina Lizibura. So Barzina, now here, that's where I was looking before. If you look Barzina on left-hand column, left of Rashi, so the Aruch says 1/8 of a revius. So that'll be 1/32nd of a revius. So if I take a small amount of this, that would be good for a wasp sting. So I assume it means that you're going to drink. You drink it, and that's curative for the wasp sting. He says revia la akrava, and if you're having a revius, at least that would be for a scorpion sting. Palgariva is a half of a log. Oh, it's, so riba is a log. So half of a log is legiluya for the exposed water. river, which is a whole log, afiluk shafimalu. It's good even if you had sorcery, you know, against you. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Anigaron. Anigaron is like borscht, you know, like you have the beets with the water. The ambangar. Ambangar is water in which bingari have been boiled. So he says bingari. He quotes here some type of herb. He says bitiraika. Tiraika is balsam. He says malu, that's good. Bein legiluya, whether it's for exposed water with the snake, bein shafim, or for sorcery. Okay, haiman. Okay, now haiman de balachivya. Now this is the last piece with the snake, and then we'll go on. Michael, you want to say anything? No. All right. All right. Let's keep moving. Now. All right. So haiman de balachivya. Now let's say a person, he wasn't bitten by a snake, he swallowed a snake. I guess you could have like a small snake, you know, a person could swallow it. All right, so let's say a person, he swallows the snake, lochlei kishuta b'melcha, he should have hops and salt, v'lerahate tlatamile, and then run 3 miles. It means the miles, though, the Roman miles. Rav Simi bar Ashi chazelu gabra de balachivya. Rav Simi bar Ashi saw a certain person who had swallowed a snake, so idamilek parasha. So Rav Simi appeared to him like a horseman. So they said in the art school he wanted him to be in fear of him, like somebody I have to be, you know, kowtow to. He says, Oak like shuta b'milcha. So he made him eat the hops and salt, which is part of the cure. Varate kame tlatamile. He made him run in front of him for 3 milim, which is also part of the cure. V'nafak mine gove gove. And then pieces of the snake came out of him in little pieces. So it was an effective cure. Ikeda Amri, others say, Rav Simi bar Ashi bala chivya, that Rav Simi himself swallowed a snake. He says, Ata Eliyahu idami le kaparasha. Eliyahu and Avi appeared to him and as a horseman. He says, Okle kishuta b'milcha. He made him eat the hops and salt. Varate kame tlatamile, made him run for 3 mil. And afimine gobe gobe, and little pieces of snake came out. All right, Haiman de tarke chivya, if a person now bitten by a snake, Leiti ubra dechamra chivrato. He should take like the fetus of a white donkey, v'likare, and rip it open, v'lotve ilave, and sit on top of it. Bani mile dloish takach trefa, provided that it's the donkey, it sounds like the mother donkey was not found to be a trefa. He says, Hahu, now the top's on Kuf Yod Amud Aleph, Hahu Bar Kasha, there was a certain officer who was Jewish. He says, the Pumpadita, the Tarke Chivya, he was bitten by a snake. There were 13 white donkeys in Pumpadita. He says, Karinu Lukulhu, he ripped them all open. He says, and Ishtahu Trefo. They're all turned out to be trefot. All turned out to be trefot. Now they said in the article it might be an exaggeration about the third number 13. Anyway, let's see, back in the Gemara, he says, Karina Lukulu de Vishtaku Trefa, Havai Charaba, who gisa the Pumpadita. There was one on one side of Pumpadita, Adda Azli, Maiti Law. Until you got over there, the donkey keeled over and died. Adda Azli, Maiti Law, Achla Arya. Until he got over to it, by the time he went over to it and brought it, Maiti Law doesn't mean died. Until he got over and brought it, Achla Arya, the lion ate it. So Amarli Abayes, Amarluhu Abayes. So Abayes said, to whoever was repeating this story, Dilma Chivya Drabanan Tarke, lately Asuta. Maybe it was a rabbi snake that ate him, and we'll explain in a minute. It has no refuah, and that's why Minashmai worked out that he couldn't get the refuah. He says, Techibu Poretz Gader Yishchenu Nachash, the person who breaches a fence, he'll be bitten by a snake. So Chazal applied that pasuk to the Chachamim. They create Siagim, and a person who doesn't observe what the Chachamim are setting forth will be bitten by a snake. So he says, Amrulay in Rebbe, they said, actually, you're right. The chinach nafshe derav, the incident was when Rav passed away, Gazar Rav Yitzchak bar Bisna, deleka delamate asa v'gidme lebehi lula. Rav Yitzchak bar Bisna made a gezera as mourning for Rav that nobody should bring myrtle and gidme is palm branches to a wedding, betavla and bells. And that was the way that they would celebrate. In other words, he says, in other words, for a year, they were going to do this, Rashi brings down, out of mourning for Rav. So he didn't care. He went. He ignored what the rabbi said. So he says, "Tarki chivya umit." So the snake bit him, and then he died. Anyway, but that's the thing. All right, let me see if I have anything more. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did today? All right, let me see if I have something from one of these sheets that maybe will help liven people up. Let me just see. Today is Kuftet, right? Kuftet. Let me see.
So you don't like it when we're not lively?
Well, liveliness is always nice. So he's got to think about this. Well, one second. Let me just look for a sheet of paper. Okay. There. We have here. You know what? We have a story. All right, let me leave the story. Okay, what do you have for me, Olivia?
I don't understand how a dead donkey, can be a trefa. I thought that trefa is only after shrita.
No. Trefa means... Okay, herzachsu. It means the Mishnah... Yeah? The Mishnah herzachsu means listen to me. How do you say that in French? Écoutez pour moi? I don't know how to say it in French. Okay. Écoutez pour moi, s'il vous plaît. Anyway, so it means like this. The Mishnah says... There are 18 trefas. There are 18 defects in a body that are trefas. And then the Rambam breaks it down into 70 defects. The 18 break down to... So if, like, let's say one defect is nikev krumu shel moach, there's a break in the membrane in the brain. That's one. There's a zillion. So if I rip open the animal and I see it has the defect, so then I realize it's really a trefa. Right, that's what it means. The trefa means. Okay, I'm going to end the recording. Let me end the recording. Okay, the recording.